This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory. Glory. Oh.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levan Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't have a clue what it is that you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is you do, I'm happy that you're doing that, doing that you have decided to do that do with me. I just want to out of the gate say that I don't really know what's happening in the atmosphere this morning. But there is a story that broke over the weekend. I'm still trying to get the details of it. Leslie Bodie was charged before the magistrate's court with stealing by way of finding. And I ain't really sure how you thief something you find. Because if Jesus put money in a wall of a building for me, right? If my Lord and Savior Jesus leave money in a wall on the ground, in a bush, somewhere next to a tree. If my Lord and Savior Jesus put money on my bank account that I didn't deposit myself, right? And I take my money that Jesus give me, right? My Jesus money that I find because Jesus loved me so much and he just want me to have this money. I really ain't sure how a magistrate could tell me that I guilty for, they say the promises of the Lord are yes and amen. Huh? Didn't the Bible say, I wish above all that you would be, that you would prosper, even as your soul prosper? Well, how the magistrate could tell me that Jesus don't want me to have this? If Jesus put it in the wall for me. Jesus knew I would be here breaking down this building. And Jesus knew I needed some money. And then Jesus just put the money in the wall for me. Isn't this the same Jesus that took the money out of the mouth of the fish? Isn't this the same Jesus? So what crime could I have committed if Jesus put money in the wall of the church hall building for me to find? I don't understand the problem. I don't understand. And I was gonna give my church 10% right away. So we're still trying to figure out whether or not it is $860. I don't know. I feel like all of the stuff that happened, it had to be a little more than 860. I sure. I don't really understand the tenets of stealing by way of finding. That don't go together to me. Unless, of course, maybe I'd find like Blackbeard's treasure or something. Then I could understand the government of the Bahamas wanting to, say that I didn't have the proper licenses, etc. to find it. And as a consequence, if I try to sell it, I'm stealing it from the Bahamian people. Who knows? But I ain't really sure if, firstly, I was taking it to no central bank. See, Jesus, somehow I have to work on my Christianity because Jesus don't ever let these kind of things happen to me. All right? And I don't know how I feel about it, Lord. This me, Lord, Joyce Grandboy. You know her. She's a travailing daughter of Zion. The least she could do is let me find 1,000 in the wall somewhere. And this boy here allegedly found 860,000 in the wall. Only for me to then read in the news that it wasn't 860,000. It was just $860. And I am perplexed. Otherwise emotionally destroyed. That, I mean, this boy just let the good blessing of the Lord slip right out of his hand like this. And I don't know how. I can't be. People say, oh, you can't say that on the radio because that may be irresponsible. I don't know if that's irresponsible. You follow me, Ali? Jesus, give me money. And the court could take it away. Huh? Whatever happened to what God has joined together, no man should put asunder. Whatever happened to that? God put me and this money together. And I don't know how I feel about the judge taking it away. Outside of that, I see Anton. Can you believe this? Anton. Is it okay if I just call him PLP Anton? Because if I say Anton Thompson, y'all wouldn't know the difference, right? So PLP Anton apparently had a ruling before the Supreme Court. Justice Diane Sawyer, her learned ladyship, has decided that Anton deserves a couple $100,000. Well, not a couple hundred, but like $100,000 and some change, right? And the story here is in actually the Tribune this morning. It says ex-BAIC manager, 134,000 win over radio show firing. A former Bahamas Agricultural and Industrial Corporation manager has won more than 134,000 after he was fired for allegedly sitting in his vehicle and joining in radio shows. Anton Thompson, who in February 2018 demanded that the former Prime Minister Hubert Minnis intervene over what he slammed as a travesty of a termination, was found by the Supreme Court to have been both unfairly and wrongfully dismissed by the government agency. Justice Diane Stewart, in a September 22nd ruling, awarded Mr. Thompson $60,122 for wrongful dismissal, a sum equivalent to what BAIC offered when he was terminated, and on the unfair dismissal, she gave him a basic $41,495. And I don't really know. I'm not quite sure what y'all mean by basic $41,000. But Justice Stewart, if you by chance are giving out more basic $41,495 rulings, I would like to come and sign up for a basic package. I don't need the Supreme or the Deluxe. I would take the standard basic Supreme Court package. I would appreciate that very much, your learned ladyship. Only if it pleases the court. But the story goes on to say that he got that plus $32,700 in compensatory damages. The story continues on to page 4 of the business section. It's... The latter sum was awarded on the basis that Mr. Thompson's termination deprived him of a Scotiabank mortgage that would have financed completion of the three-story duplex townhouse he was building at the time. The ex-BAIC manager said he had already paid $5,000 towards an appraisal report, quantity surveyor's report, engineer's report, and life insurance for the duplex project, and injected $190,000 from his own personal funds into it. Justice Stewart also noted that Mr. Thompson was forced to enter into an interest-only arrangement with Commonwealth Bank because the BAIC termination had left him unable to meet $1,080 in monthly loan payments. She awarded him accrued interest on both the Scotiabank and Commonwealth Bank loans, which made up the majority of the compensatory award. Setting out the background to the dispute, Justice George said, Mr. Thompson had been employed at BAIC since May 1st, 2003 and assigned to its Gladstone Road feed mill from 2016 in the role of senior manager. However, despite earning $47,950 per annum, together with a $6,480 annual allowance, he did not have a job description outlining his responsibilities. Rodney Forbes, Mr. Thompson's now deceased supervisor, was also unaware of Mr. Thompson's feed mill assignment. Despite this, He sought to identify the feed mill's weaknesses, strengths, opportunities, and threats, and inform his department head of them, Justice Stewart wrote. He did, in fact, compile reports as needed and averred that he was always on site but would have to sit in his truck to work due to the myriad of physical inadequacies that affected staff, clients, and management. Some of the inadequacies included insufficient space for staff members and customers on a daily basis, one shared restroom for staff and customers, and that the restroom, kitchen area, cashier station, clerk station, and manager's desk were all contained in a 6-foot by 10-foot area. There was no privacy, and he was unable to conduct any private meetings with management, staff, or clients. As a result, Mr. Thompson resorted to sitting in his vehicle during his final few months at BAIC, given the absence of seating at the feed mill. The alternative for him and other staff members was a dilapidated building on the compound where staff often gathered, or the production plant floor while feed was produced therein, Justice Stewart added. He maintained that the production plant was inadequate as the air ventilation system and the ceiling fans were not functioning, and there were several deficiencies on the floor of the plant that were hazardous to management. Mr. Thompson alleged that complaints he made about the working conditions to Arnold Dorset, a former department head of agriculture, Troy Sampson, then BAIC general manager, Fanita, what is this name, Rohendenwald, head of human resources, and former BAIC executive chairman Dion Smith, produced no action. He was also removed from the agricultural department's WhatsApp group. He only called into the radio talk show during his break or his lunch break. Ha ha ha. That's interesting. This is supposed to be the world's longest lunch break, by the way. Which would be anywhere between 7:30 a.m. and 10 a.m. for 15 minutes, and between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. for an hour. Justice Stewart noted the radio was always on during the day in the feed mill's office. He denied that he failed to perform his duties because he would be calling into radio talk shows during the day. However, Mrs. Rohendenwald, Rohdenwald, sent all BAIC staff an email in September 2017 telling them they were limited to calling into radio talk shows during their lunch hour. And on December 18th, 2017, Mr. Thompson received a letter from BAIC's board telling him to stop calling the radio shows during working hours, which he felt undermined his right to freedom of speech. The termination letter received on February 1st, 2018 came as a complete shock, given Mr. Thompson had been speaking to BAIC's Human Resources Department at that time over a 3-month vacation leave so he could obtain treatment for a spinal cord injury. He alleged that there had been no prior warning or concerns raised about his conduct. However, Mr. Sampson, as BAIC's then general manager, argued that Mr. Thompson was warned in an August 17, 2017 letter about behavior amounting to gross misconduct and neglect of duties due to him sitting in his work vehicle, calling into radio talk shows, arriving late to work, and abandoning your post for hours during the day. Mr. Sampson alleged he saw complaints about Mr. Thompson from his late supervisor, Mr. Forbes, and BAIC's board issued a directive to terminate his employment. However, he admitted the feed mill was in a wanting state and that plans to upgrade it never happened. Finding that as a manager, Mr. Thompson was not covered by the industrial agreement involving BAIC line staff, Justice Stewart noted that the agency did not dispute the working conditions that forced him to work in his vehicle, and no evidence was produced as to how often he called into radio talk shows. Oh, this is so delightful. When I read this story, Ali, I just had to tell you, my eyes were wet. There was no evidence. And this just proves that the court is blind. Like people don't understand the way justice works. It's not what you know, it's what you can prove in court, right? And so if you don't enter the evidence before the face of the court can't take it into consideration. Therefore, The court can't see it, sorry. Therefore, the court can't take it into consideration. And you get to see the wonderful stories like these in the newspaper, right? Where was I? Finding that as a manager, Mr. Thompson was not covered by the industrial agreement involving BAIC line staff, Justice Stewart noted that the agency did not dispute the working conditions that forced him to work in his vehicle, and no evidence was produced as to how often he called into radio talk shows to back up the dereliction of duty assertion. While BAIC had an honest belief that Mr. Thompson was guilty of such conduct, Justice Stewart said the letters given to him were directives to cease and desist as opposed to invitations to respond. As a result, the ex-feed mill manager was not given a chance to rebut the allegations against him, which was in breach of the rules of natural justice and resulted in unfair dismissal. He was not informed that the defendant BAIC was minded to dismiss him, and he was subsequently not given an opportunity to present any mitigating factors or contrary evidence to dissuade the defendant from dismissing him, Justice Stewart ruled. This was also the basis upon which he was found to have been wrongfully dismissed. However, Justice Stewart declined to order that Mr. Thompson be reinstated due to the breakdown in the working relationship with BAIC and his lack of job description. That's correct, because what would she be sending him back to do? The Tribune's archives record Mr. Davis and Fred Mitchell, now Minister of Foreign Affairs, identifying several of the dismissed workers as Progressive Liberal Party PLP supporters. While Mr. Thompson was not mentioned as such, he was represented in his Supreme Court case by Philip McKinsey, Glenda Roker, and Cresswell Sturrup. All three are attorneys at Davis & Co., the now Prime Minister's law firm, although he is no longer active or practicing there. It also appears likely that Mr. Sturrup is the former permanent secretary in the Prime Minister's office under the Christie administration, who has now been recalled by Mr. Davis to public service. Others dismissed from BAIC at the same time as Mr. Thompson included Latre Ramming, former press secretary for Mr. Christie, and well, now press something for Mr. Davis. That's me. That's not in the paper. Former press secretary for Mr. Christie. Mr. Thompson blasted at the time, "I am being pushed on the unemployment line unfairly and unjustly. This is unacceptable, I say to you, Dr. Minister, the Prime Minister of this nation. I am looking forward to you. I am calling on you to correct this wrong. This is nonsense. You said it's the people's time. I am a Bahamian, so I am a part of the people, and I am calling on you, sir, as Prime Minister of this country, to call into account BAIC's Executive Board, BAIC's Chairman, Mr. Michael Folks, BAIC's General Manager, and all persons who had a hand in this nasty thing that happened to me today, Friday." And so with that said, you know, with all of the possible $860,000 found, Ali, you ready? With all of the $134,000 ruling, I just feel like God must have blessed people insurmountably with blessings that they do not even have the room enough to receive. And I really and truly only have one request. Lord, whatever you're doing, don't do it without me. Please don't do it without me. I won't be just like Antoine, Lord. And like with that other fella named Leslie Bodie. So, Lord, this leaving. Man, please let me be next. Whatever you're doing, Lord, please don't do it without me.
Lord! Whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. You got to tell it for yourself. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Come on, help me, Sanchez. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it. You gotta tell them for yourself. You gotta tell them for yourself.
Don't do it.
And so my name ain't Anton Thompson or Leslie Bodie, but Lord, while you're in this window of letting people just run into money, man, Lord, don't forget me, all right? And I promise not to let Central Bank dig mine. I promise you, all right? So that's what I wanted to get to first of all this morning. Outside of that, I got a couple of shout-outs. I want to say a special birthday shout-out to one of my daddy's greatest friends in his life, Barry Bethel. I don't know how old he is today, but you know, he's out there looking 21 and he's driving a red Corvette. This is probably what happens when you approach, you know. But yeah, so to Barry Bethel, happy birthday, good buddy. And also, I thought about assistant governor of the Rotary International, Mr. Ken Strawn, over the weekend. I see he's back in the saddle. And now as Assistant Commissioner, Ken Strawn, returned. And so I also wanted to say a special good morning to Mr. Strawn. Wherever you are in the Commonwealth, I see that you all have known a massive undertaking over there in Abaco with the roof project and all that other stuff that you all are doing. It is a commendable effort. And I just wanted to shout that out this morning. The phone lines are now open. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Anton, you don't need to call me to justify it. The story's in the newspaper. Everybody could just go and read it. We know what happened. You know, if you want to, you could feel free to meet me at the local community watering hole and we could celebrate your victory. You know, I have one rule. I typically like them in even numbers. So if you feel like it, you know, you can find me in the inner city. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can call me on those. You can text me on 422-4796. The other thing I want to talk about is yesterday actually made 1 month since the Progressive Liberal Party has come back to office. And I wanted to know exactly whether or not people were still pleased, whether or not they were gaining ground, whether or not we thought they were losing ground. The fight against COVID seems to has taken a tumultuous turn. Some would argue for the worse. The former administration and the leader of the opposition are now saying that the response is disastrous as 18 additional people die. I hear the Minister of Health and Wellness now saying that we need to build a new morgue facility. And my question is, I wonder if the Progressive Liberal Party, like the Free National Movement, is going to continue to just disregard the fact that NHI exists. It's a $50 million funded agency of the government that has, I mean, a bankroll of doctors that have private facilities that could all be doing testing and all be uploading the information into their electronic health record system that we spend one gang of money to have that works pretty well and it's on several islands. I don't know why we haven't taken this approach yet, but I see the minister is saying that that Dr. Minnis has lost the moral authority to speak on COVID. In the Tribune this morning, it says, with 18 new deaths reported over the weekend, pushing the nation's COVID-19 death toll to 628, former prime minister, and I don't know why we just can't call him leader of the opposition. That's what he is. Dr. Hubert Minnis castigated the government, saying its responses on the virus have been disastrous. Data released by the ministry of health on Friday included 14 new deaths, which were contained in the October 13th dashboard. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Dr. Michael Darvill is reaching far enough into his toolbox. I get it. It's only been 4 weeks. But I mean, we knew that the pandemic was brewing all along. Is the plan for free testing gaining any traction? I see that they have gone into the southern Bahamas and they appear to want to start it there first. But my question is, why not just use the tool that you already have? you already have this wonderful agency that you don't need to go and find new money for because they've already had money allocated, and all you would need to do is redirect the allocation because the money already exists. It should already be on a bank account. And now you kind of just change their mandate for a temporary period where, because people are only going to see those physicians twice a year, possibly. They're doing labs maybe twice a year, possibly. And so now you kind of can get those doctors to do something else while they manage care, because if COVID is going to give me irregularities in my health, then shouldn't my primary care physician kind of track me through that? I'm just trying to figure out. There has to be more that we can do with the product that is NHI. And I don't know if we are reaching far enough into this bike. 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. Let's read the text message. This one here says, not to worry. The bank will take most of Anton's award money in interest and penalties. He's been unemployed for years and is now unemployable. At least I wouldn't hire him for anything. This one here says, hi, but no government can be blamed for the debts. People are to blame for not adhering to the rules. I don't know if I still want to take that tone that we should blame humans for humaning. I don't know if that is a thing. I don't know if you could say, oh, because you like to go by your Grammy house where your 16 cousins live, orders be, and all of them just go somewhere other than here in the daytime and come here in the nighttime. You're all killing your old selves. You know, like, I don't get what is this stigma, in air commas, that we try to attach to people who infected their families with COVID. What is the stigma? That I like to breathe? Is the stigma that I enjoy the consumption of oxygen in the room with other people that are consuming oxygen? I don't get the demonizing of people that have gone home and infected their families. And I think a lot of the message from the people that are the policymakers are contaminating it as well. Because these politicians up and down and as well, as old people would say, and well, ain't none of them making their family sick. So it's literally a luck of the draw kind of thing. And I don't particularly volunteer to go around people that I know are saturated in COVID. It's kind of crazy, this narrative that we have set for people that either have had contracted COVID or have somehow infected family members with COVID. All of a sudden it's, oh, you're doing it because you're so slack. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And I think it's nothing but highbrowed behavior that I wish to beat back on every occasion. Another text message here says, Levin, that's when you have a good lawyer to present your case. Look at Adrian Fox. His lawyer got his case down to a misdemeanor. If he don't have no other case here, he can run for House of Assembly. Levin, for what it is worth, that judge in Anton's case is Dwayne Sands' sister. I'm aware that she's Dwayne Sands' sister. I'm not really sure the correlation now, but, you know, it's quite a bit of them, actually. I think it's 5 of them? So it's possible that you can run into people's brothers and sisters. Let's take a break, Ali. 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. Jesus is obviously in the miracle working business again. And he's giving money to all kind of people. Jesus, I just want you to know that if you send me $860,000, $860, $184,000, anything with like 1,000 in it, Jesus. Let's make sure we're specific. Anything with 1,000 in it, Lord, I promise not to let Central Bank take it. And I promise to be good with it. I can get a church 10% too. And, you know, maybe like do something for poor people too. All right? Just me, Jesus. Please, man. Whatever you're doing, don't do that without me. I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Your station for fresh news and smart talk. We'll be back after the break.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Peace of mind. Hey.
you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Layvon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Three two three six two three two three two five four three one six three two five four two five nine. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning, caller. You're on. Is the call there? Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hey.
Leon.
Mm-hmm.
In reading that public treasury situation,
mm-hmm.
I want to advise you know, you got young. Let's take boxes of money on the shelf. Box of money to walk out the door sometimes.
Yeah.
Box and box of money. So if I had $80,000 somebody hide in the wall and forget it, they all couldn't go back and get it. I'm shocking.
I'm just trying to figure out how is money missing out of the government's coffers and we can't account for it. Like why isn't this money allocated in one of the audits or something like that? How, explain that to me.
You know when it got wrong?
Yes, I do. I think that I was just talking about it this morning. Was that 1998?
Yeah, around that time. I mean, like that was so slack. People walk away with box. It's called a bear box for money.
Mm-hmm.
Just walk out the door. I go for lunch with the box in your hand.
I don't know if it was that easy, bro. But
let me take a hand now.
Mm-hmm.
Our commissioner, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I can dance, make a fool of the whole force. He don't even know promotion. He don't even tell us like if you run from the police, right? Wouldn't they put out a most wanted on you? Like the FBI.
Yeah.
Are you running? It's actually a utility.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't the two people that left doing that mass murder, who they are? I put some heat on their family.
Well, it's because he says Pookie them could get to them before the police. So he need to make sure that he don't tell Pookie them who he believe to
no.
murder.
He said we're going to come back. No, he said we're going to come back. That is years,
no, no, no. He said,
now.
He said,
they're waiting.
He said, like we are looking, the criminal elements are also looking. And so, you know, he don't want to put the names out of there for the reasons that he has already suggested. That's what he said.
Oh, really? Because I think the FBI works. They put the heat on you. I put you on the map because most wanted. Whoever you is, they could be looking for you too.
Mm.
So, and then what about this police promotion? If he didn't do it, who did it?
He said only the commissioner promotes. That's what he said.
And who else could have even put it out there?
I know. I don't know. I don't know the answer to these questions, Robert.
Because they've left the force in a total mess. He's making him sign letters. That they're able to say, as a minister, I do it. I'll give you my mother. You're going to fire me. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't want him no longer. I have to account for what he has to come.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're going away and leaving all of this trouble on him. He don't know what to do. They said, well, about the misdemeanor, but the malfeasance administration works. Shouldn't he go and take notes now and say the evidence
mm-hmm.
and take agent and else? Ask him if that's a girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. That's what the FBI do. They're the last lock. They're going to tap your phone, put you under examination so that you can change your statement in months to come.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the police do.
Mm-hmm.
They collect the evidence. No, they don't. In fact, government papers should not be shredded. like it's government run. In effect, it's against the law to share government documents. It must go to the archives. Even my Trump marks up a piece of paper in the office, they have to go and show it up.
Okay. All right, Robert. Thank you very much. All right. So I have a text right here that's saying, excuse me, do you think God is your drinking buddy or something? He is God. Respect him. Don't play with him. I don't know which part of this show this morning you listened to when I was playing with God. And I invite you now to a scripture. It is Romans chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. I invite you to read it with me. It says, let's go to 21 so I could read it from 21. See, because you all keep trying to tell me how I should interact with the God that I believe in, and I don't get you and your God business. So let me read this for you, right? It says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. It says, it goes on to say, thou hast faith, then have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. So whatever your belief is in your God and how you believe you could talk to your God, you do that. Me and my God, we kind of just do it a little differently, all right? So if you have faith, beloved, have it unto yourself. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hey,
I keep telling y'all I church your God, you know. Y'all ain't know how much of this book I didn't read it. I done told y'all before I read this entire book from the book of Genesis all the way to Galatians, and I miss no page. I read all. So my relationship with my Christianity, I come into you now to it, is not one that is untested. The pastor ain't had to tell me this. I read it for myself. And to the people that say, oh, well, I'm blind because I read the European book called the Bible, well, I'll tell you one thing. There are many things in this book that I feel I could apply to my everyday life in 2021. And that right there is one. So, beloved, again, I say to you, if you have faith, have that unto yourself. All right? Hey, DeWitt, what's up?
Hey, what's up, brother? Mm-hmm. Reverend Dr.
I don't want them playing with me, DeWitt. I's a church of God boy. They don't understand that.
Everyone has their own personal belief and with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I think people try to force people to believe what they want them to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But once you have a personal belief and you have an understanding about reading the basic instruction before leaving Earth,
mm-hmm.
That's your guideline right there, bro.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you don't worry about people. People can say whatever they want to say. Mm-hmm. All right, as long as you know that your heart is pure and clean and you're doing something right, that's what counts.
Yeah.
All right. What I want to talk about this morning, is this an open show?
It's as open as it could get for right now. Let's go.
Mr. Bellock.
Uh-huh.
I am talking in terms or speaking out about the former prime minister, about this COVID situation, right? I hear him put out a statement about the government needs to be more aggressive. You see, Mr. Miller, it just goes to show you, right, if the people did give him another chance, what mm-hmm. was his intention?
To lock us back down.
To lock you and lock you back down for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And the only thing...
And not pay my bills and let the bank take my house because the Canadian banks are calling.
And let the bank out automatically. And let you just be a beggar.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to empower someone, they want you to come by social service and come around to these feet and neck with begging.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? That was his intentions. And thank God it didn't happen that way. Because mm-hmm. what I don't understand for the life of me,
mm-hmm.
right, and take the politics out of it, how is it that you abandon the people? You abandoned the people. You never wanted to talk to the reporters. You never wanted to talk to nobody, but now you got all the voice in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you know something, Mr. Miller? I tell you what I tell Mr. McCartney. If I was a reporter for any news station or any a network, I wouldn't even entertain him. I wouldn't entertain him.
Well, they have to. He's leader of the opposition.
I would entertain him until he admits.
DeWitt, that is impossible, DeWitt. See, we can't let emotions get in the way of the system of governance.
No, it's not emotions, you know, Mr.
No,
Miller.
You're saying that you wouldn't entertain him. He is the leader of Her Majesty's loyal opposition. There is no way to not entertain him.
And I respect that. But what I'm saying to you, as a journalist and as a news reporter,
mm-hmm.
why should I entertain you and you didn't respect me to the level for me? when I ask you the most simple question.
I just told you why.
Remember now, the news media is uh-huh. for the state.
Uh-huh.
It's for it's them who bring the information basically from the person that they interviewed.
Correct. And you know that the leader of the opposition is the man most likely next in line to be the prime minister.
Not him. Not him. He finished.
No. Let's take the personalities out of it. Not Hubert Minnis. The office of leader of the opposition is most likely the person next in line to be prime minister.
9 out of 10 times, most times it happens.
Okay. And so the point I make to you is we can say that his handling of the press during his time as prime minister was egregious, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But because the man holds the office of leader of the opposition, if he opened his mouth and say, hey, diddle, diddle, the cat and the fiddle, we have to report that.
Boy, listen, Mr. Miller, let me tell you something.
It is the instrument of state that we are interested in.
And especially to his own people.
Do
for
it.
Him
and again,
to open
that,
his mouth.
That is an argument in personality, one that people could suggest is emotional. The point I make to you is, whether it was Hubert Minnis or Rumpelstiltskin, if he sits in the office of the leader of the opposition, then we have to follow him.
Yeah, and Mr. Miller, I respect what you're saying, but guess what? I prefer during that time of his reign, we had anyway, I can't say it on the radio.
Thank you, DeWitt.
Have a good day.
323-623-22352-316-325-425-9. Good morning, Mr. Miller. I would like to suggest they use the schools on weekends for mass testing for COVID. You will need your national insurance card and address for contact tracing. Let me tell you a wonderful thing about the way the NHI program works. And NHI should send me a check, you know. Their executive team at NHI. Y'all can feel free to send me some money, and I'd appreciate that. The way it works is you have an NIB card. That is how you access your NHI. Once you are enrolled in the NHI program, right, they assigned you to a physician. They assign you. Why did I say assigned? They assign you to a physician. Once you're assigned, that physician and you now make regular communications back and forth between each other. They send you wonderful little emails that remind you of certain things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You then make an appointment with your physician and you go and have your primary care looked at. I'm suggesting that among your primary care package, they could add free testing as a primary care package benefit. Once that is done, your physician can set up routine testings for you. So if you are somebody that works in a high traffic, high, heavy traffic area, blah, 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 your physician says, okay, I'm going to have you come in every 14 to 21 days for testing. Versus me, who stays home every day because I'm so safe and decent and not interested in being here mingling with a bunch of people with COVID, my physician may say, well, Mr. Miller, I'm going to set you up based on your lifestyle. You don't really ever leave home. You live by yourself and you've gotten rid of the goldfish. Could you pop in every 6 to 8 weeks and have some testing done? That lets me know what the COVID virus is doing in my community among the 140,000 people or something like that they have enrolled. And that would open the floodgates for enrolling them. And then we could take this money that we're spending all over the place in these little pockets and push it into NHI so that it all comes out of one arm of the government. That's just a Levin Miller recommendation. And you need your NIB card for that. So technically, I know where you live, who you live with, what you're doing, what your money and what your job is, how much they pay. I know everything about you I need to know when COVID attacks you. All right, let's take another text. Text writer here says, good morning, Mr. Miller. Great show as usual. Please tell DeWitt that he needs to listen and take the emotions out of it. You kept telling him how it is, and he still will not listen, think he knows it all. Well, sometimes people are consumed by the things that they believe. Good day, Levin. DeWitt is a VLP like Anton. They cannot be objective, so I cannot take his criticism. This here says, buddy, unless you own that media house, they would have fired you for abandoning your condition of employment. This one here says, Levin, please remind the former prime minister that right-thinking countries around the world like Sweden are placing responsibility for survival in the hands of its citizens and have decided to live with COVID, which isn't going anywhere. But, you know, I think that the former prime minister, I'm not really sure, he blames it on being a physician. I think the leader of the opposition, let's just call him that. Can we all agree to just call him the leader of the opposition? I think the leader of the opposition is leaning on his medical training. And doctors appear to have a massive desire to always want to say that they fixed something. Oh, I fixed that. And I don't think COVID is one of those things that you are going to fix. So, you know, no disrespect to doctors anywhere. I think he kind of just needs to get over it because doctors don't typically fix things. That's just not their specialty. And let us, like you said, text writer, put that power back in the hands of people. This one here says, Levin, why the press ain't asked Minnis about where the millions the Auditor General cannot find, who is the beneficial owner of them companies, wants to lock us down so we don't make money. But Levin, during the lockdown, he made millions. Actually, the leader of the opposition's declaration went up by about $1 million in the last election, and I ain't sure how he do that either. With an economy that ain't performing 17 months. 3236232325. I don't have time for more calls, but 3254316325429. Who knows? Maybe you'll be lucky. Yeah, and so those are some of the things that are in my head this morning. Again, to the guy that find the money, what your name is again? Leslie Bodie. Man, Leslie, next time don't take the money to central bank. What's wrong with you? How you get the central bank? Why would you go there? And wake on a better story, Leslie. I was walking. Jesus told me, look in the bush. I listened to Jesus. When I look in the bush, there was the money Jesus wanted me to have. Could you please give me some new money? That's how you tell them. You don't tell them I find the money. What you thought they was going to do? Ah, boy. And congratulations again, Anton, on $134,000. And again, to my daddy's friend, Barry Bethel, happy birthday. I come in for them, all right? I like them in twos. And two is not enough, and three is an odd number, and four is not enough, and five is another odd number. So, you know, I like mines and twos. Who is this, Ali? Let's take this one. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Yes, Brother Layman. This is Amos Miller.
Hey, Amos.
Yes. I just want to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I didn't catch most of your show. But I wanted to ask you a question, if it's possible.
You got 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. All right, 30 seconds. Many Bahamians, business owners, okay, were basically sent home by the government who gave them the license when the country was closed down as relates to the tourism business. Now, I need the officials, the government, the prime minister.
You got to speed it up, Amos. I run out of time.
Everybody, to let the people know, because they cannot expect for people to be living off $100, because you need another $100 to get the internet to register for the so-called NIB. Mm-hmm. So how long are they going to keep the people living off $100?
All right. I don't know. Amos wants you all to figure out how long the people can live off $100. I don't know. Again, I say to Dr. Michael Darvill, I have to commend you, sir. I ain't sure if you getting the job done because people dropping down dead left, right, and center. But if you believe the faith I believe they can't go tell God want them anyhow. All right? Because, and if you don't believe that, people have had COVID and have recovered. So obviously, the great architect of the world has a design that I still do not know the entire plan for. But we believe that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So, if it happened to you, God must see one that happened to you. God, I want you to want $100,000 to happen to me in Jesus' name. Amen. Outside of that, sir, please see if you could somehow get NHI in this fight, because I think it's the appropriate thing to do. Anyway, that's my time. I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. I know, you know, the world knows. They do it all day. Don't move. They've got the news. That happens now.
Well, Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis should hang his head in shame instead of attacking the new government's COVID response. In a press statement,